Welcome to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show on Building Fortunes Radio with your host, motivational speaker Greg Dwyer. Be sure to check out Greg at www.gregdwyer.com. That's www.gregdwyer.com. Now on to our show. Take it away, Greg.
Okay, I am psyched. We have a remarkable guest today. His name is Joe Curcello. He is a friend. He is a confidant. He's an advisor. He's got so many things going on. He has countless lanes of expertise. Not only is he a former judge and lawyer, a master communicator, a private investigator involved with entertainment, he has just written a book that I'm really excited to talk to him about called The Generalist Advantage. So, Joe, thanks for being on the podcast today.
Greg, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here this afternoon. I love it.
Well, you know, I saw a post about this book, and I thought, are you crazy? Now, I know you do a couple things, and you have many things going on and expertise, but I've always been taught, hey, you got to pick a lane, you got to be an expert, people like experts, but this kind of goes against the whole grain of what I'm thinking. How did you come up with this? Like, what was the basics, the foundation for this idea?
Well, let me start by saying, you're not alone. Everybody says pick a lane. I was raised by a very good mother and father who told me I could do anything I wanted as long as it was a lawyer. That was the goal. And unfortunately for me, I call it professional ADD. I needed to learn more. I couldn't stay put. I needed to go out and do other things. To make a long story short, as I went through life, I have juggled many different professions. I'm a civil engineer. I'm an artist. I'm a lawyer, private investigator. I do a lot of stuff. I owned a restaurant. And about a year and a half ago, I actually got asked by one of my business advisors the question of, why do you believe you have been so successful? And
wow.
my standard answer to that question right now is 334 pages later, I handed my business advisor a book. And that is The Generalist Advantage, How to Harness the Raw Power of Cross-Disciplinary Thinking. I handed it to him and said, here is your answer.
Wow.
So how did I get into this? I've just done it my whole life. I have only learned to explain it in the last year and a half to 2 years.
So have you ever had a challenge of explaining yourself? Not that you would be a guy that would explain yourself, because I don't think you would, but most people, you know, maybe I'm projecting here, but do they get confused by, like, who are you? Like, I had somebody say to me about 3 months ago, who are you? Like, what do you do? Like, you do this and you do that. Have you had those questions your whole life as well?
Yes, I have, and
I'm
going to chuckle and say the greatest part of that answer is when people from two different lanes of my life meet and they try to figure out who I really am, and I just like to watch that.
Yeah.
I mean, I had some people I dealt with in the restaurant business who had no idea I was a lawyer. They knew I was the maitre d' of a restaurant. I was running a restaurant, and I'll never forget the day they walked into my office because they were referred to Joe Curcello, and you should have seen their face when they found out Joe from the Tuscan Bistro was Joe Curcello, the criminal defense lawyer.
Yeah. It messes with people. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I absolutely had explaining to do on that one. And,
well, and I think the reason why is people want to pigeonhole people, you know?
Yes, they do.
Yeah.
It is comfortable to be able to label people. It is comfortable for people to simply say, that person is X, Y, or Z. And the reality of it is, we're not labels. We are not labels.
Right.
Every single person listening to us right now has walked in multiple lanes in their life They've done things they've loved. They've done things that excited them. But then all of a sudden they come back to the same lane they're in because they're scared to branch out.
Ooh.
And
okay.
My theory is please branch out, because when you are, for instance, when you are a lawyer, when you are a doctor, when you are a plumber, when you are a carpenter, it doesn't matter what you do. Everything you do in all of your other lanes makes you better in your primary lane. My front-facing mm-hmm. lane for years was being a lawyer. But
right.
I always told people I was a good trial lawyer because I was a contractor and a carpenter, and I knew how to build a house. I built my cases the same way a builder does his project management plan.
Right.
And that made me a better trial lawyer. Everything you do benefits everything else. And that
so
is what people
that gets,
need to do.
That gets into the topic of multidisciplinary mindset. Am I right?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. It also
okay.
takes you into what I call cross-disciplinary thinking.
Okay.
And
explain those two things. Yeah, explain that. That would be great.
All right. Let me explain it this way. Multidisciplinary. What do we mean? Okay. Picture a fruit salad. You've got chopped up peaches, apples, pears, bananas, whatever you want to put in it, a couple grapes. You look at the fruit salad. Everything in that bowl is multidisciplinary. All of those
mm-hmm.
fruits are separate. They're distinct. They're individual. They have taste. That is multidisciplinary. Interdisciplinary
mm-hmm.
is when you take all of that fruit, throw it into a blender, and turn it into a smoothie. It loses every part of its individual identity, and everything becomes one. Then,
mm-hmm.
if you go into left field and take something that doesn't belong and dump some tequila into that blender, now you've done something cross-disciplinary because you've introduced a new ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what's called cross-disciplinary. So
okay.
those terms to me are very important because we're all multidisciplinary and we have to learn to live in all of our lanes at one time, let it all become all of us, and then we can start picking and choosing things to mix and match to improve every lane that we are in.
Yeah, I also think that you show up differently for different people. Like if you're at a convention that ties into your entertainment world, you're a certain person and characteristic and people think of you that way. However, if you're at a conference that has to do with lawyers, they're thinking of you that way. So, but we all do that, don't we?
Yeah, we all have an identity that we have now. I want to say that for me, I'm a very in-your-face extroverted type of person. But even
mm-hmm.
when I go somewhere, I tend to be a little more silent when I first walk in the room because I don't know how to present myself till I see what people need to see. And
oh, okay.
that's just something I have learned because I've had to present myself differently. You know, the funniest example I can give you is back in the 90s, I was a criminal trial lawyer trying child abuse cases. I was prosecuting child abusers. And then at nights and weekends, I was doing kids' magic shows.
Wow. The
same person cannot show up at both events. But the ability to communicate with children carried over into all of the events.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
what do you say to a person that says, jack of all trades, master of none? Because I've talked to some business people marketing, and they're like, listen, if you're going to be a speaker, you got to pick your lane. If you're going to be an entertainer, you got to pick your genre. If you're going to be, you know, what do you say to the person that says, okay, you're a generalist, that's a weakness? Because I would think that's an objection. Now, I'm talking to a lawyer, so I know you're going to be able to handle this. But what do you say to somebody like that?
Sure. Absolutely. Let me start by saying jack of all trades, master of none, more often better than one, is the quote that exists out there in the world. It's more often
okay.
better than one, and that is a true statement. Let me justify
oh.
this. historically.
Okay.
If you look back in history, a jack of all trades was actually somebody that was worshipped, somebody that was considered to be special. Leonardo da Vinci was not considered to be an idiot. People admired that he could do a lot of different things. And in 1792, a guy named Robert Greene wrote an article where he called someone an absolute Johannes Factotum, which is an absolute Johnny Do-It-All. And he said the man would never go anywhere. He was an absolute Johannes Factotum, thought he knew everything, and in fact he was not niched, and therefore would never make anything of himself. And then I always ask people, have you ever heard of Robert Greene? And the answer is no. And the question is, have you ever heard of William Shakespeare, the individual he was talking about? And the answer is always yes. He used it as a negative, but when you even apply it and look at what Shakespeare did, sure, he's always been challenged. That is what you're going to have. People are going to challenge you. But his literature lives on because he was everything. He was the playwright, the director. He was the theater company, whatever. Everything he did went into his work. So, yeah, and if you look back in history, there's a number of articles. I don't want to bore you with a whole bunch of stuff. It's actually in the book. But there's a bunch of things in the past where that concept of being the jack of all trades was considered a position of praise, because they could solve all the problems and you didn't need to call someone else.
Well, I'm blown away by this, like, major shift in my thinking, and we've only been on a few minutes, 15 minutes here. It kind of reminds me of a mastermind group. You have four or five different individuals, all from different backgrounds, each seeing and helping different people. But what I hear you saying is, if you are more of a generalist and you have strengths in many different disciplines, you have the advantage. That's the word that I'm thinking of, the advantage.
Yeah, and you do not want to be in that mastermind when I'm having conversations in my head. It happens.
No, what do you mean?
When I start arguing with myself and contributing, and my brain is going back and forth, and one minute thinking like a lawyer, the next minute thinking like a private investigator, it's great. I mean, I love doing it. And I just say to people, you don't want to be in there. It's a crowded room.
You know, it's interesting you say this. I know you're a mentalist. You are a performer. You do mind reading. What's the connection? What's the connection with thinking like a mind reader or a mentalist and thinking like a lawyer or thinking like an engineer? What are the disciplines that you kind of borrow from without giving away any secrets? But you probably have an advantage from most guys that just go one place and do one thing, and they just are single-minded. You know what I mean?
People. Understanding people. Knowing what people want, how people think. Knowing how people live. Whether I'm standing in a courtroom or I'm standing on a stage or I'm sitting in a boardroom. The facilitation of people and how they think and how they act is what I am driven by.
Wow, that's profound. Yeah, that's very profound.
That's what I do.
So how do people get a hold of you? How do they get the book? I assume the book is available on Amazon, but let's put in a quick commercial for you.
Thank you. Yep, the book is available on Amazon, The Generalist Advantage. It's still available on Kindle as well as paperback. And it's they can get a hold of me by going to joecurcillo.com, joecurcillo.
Excellent.
.com.
What about a story? Can you share a story from the book, an example of cross-disciplinary thinking, one that jumps out at you, one that's really popular that you tell a lot?
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's funny you say that. I don't know that I ever tell anything a lot. I just kind of, my brain's going back and forth, going, whatever.
okay.
What I would say, when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind was something that I was actually discussing with someone yesterday. And it's when my daughter was born. She had the cord around her neck. After she was born, she was rushed into the neonatal intensive care unit some 30 years ago. And the doctor came in, who I have dubbed Dr. Frankenstein, and he came in and proceeded to talk to my wife and I, explaining my daughter's condition. My wife fell apart crying, just having given birth. I'm staring at the guy, and when he walked out of the room, I looked at the one nurse, and I said, "Who was that?" And she said, "He's the best neonatal care doctor we have on staff." And I said, "I would love to meet the second best neonatal care doctor you have on staff."
Wow.
And about 10 minutes later, in came a woman who they introduced as a neonatal care doctor. She was one of the most beautiful communicators, looked at my wife and basically said, "No, everything's going to be fine. I'm sorry he scared you. We're just, you know, making sure you know what's going on," and blah, blah, blah. And made my wife feel great. Came to find out this other doctor, the second doctor, was a high school softball coach. She had a family. She was involved in her children's Girl Scouts and everything else. She lived her life in multiple lanes. It made her a great communicator. The first doctor had no other life. That's all he did, was treat infants in crisis and never develop the skill to communicate. That multidisciplinary mindset of the second doctor, to me, made her the better doctor. And as we jokingly say in my house, I am from Philadelphia, so let me just paraphrase that I did tell the Dr. Frankenstein in a very polite way. I said, "Sir, if you ever should talk to my wife again, things will not end well. And you can write in there the expletives and other words that I used to actually say it." But it was a horrible experience because this doctor just lived in his own head, never got out of his own way. And the second one just embraced life. She didn't lose herself in being a neonatal care. And the irony of this, the reason I'm telling you this, I brought this up yesterday, and the doctor that I was talking to as we were having a cigar, he looked at me and he said, "Oh, my God, I know what hospital she was born in, and I know 30 years ago, I know exactly what two doctors you're talking about, and you have described them perfectly."
Wow.
So, you know, it's even apparent to the people in the world around them. So there's a quick story to explain the benefit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it is. And the thing that I'm thinking when you're telling the story is, I think you're really onto something, because I have never heard anybody ever talk about this. Are there other people that are touting this message? Because I don't think so. You're the only person that I know that is mentioning this.
Well, no, let me say that one of the things that kicked me in gear on this was when someone told me, when I was challenged into finding out why I do what I do, I was directed to a book by David Epstein called Range. Range is an incredible book, and it is the book title is Range: Why Generalists Triumph in a Specialized World. And he maps out a very good basis for all of the generalists in history and historical perspective. That is what inspired me in my book to take a much deeper dive and actually explain what I call the nuts and bolts of a generalist. I mean, what makes a generalist truly happen? So, no, David Epstein is one of the first that I'm aware of that came out on that. It was a phenomenal read. I just wanted to take it to another level, or as I say, I wanted to build a factory and show everybody how a generalist is made.
It's wonderful. Now, as a speaker reaching out to corporations and, you know, doing keynotes and all of that, how do people wrap their brain around your message and, you know, to hire you? Because I would think, maybe I'm projecting, but, you know, I'm thinking you would get resistance. So how do you get past that barrier to let them know that, you know, you can help them, you know, as far as the advantage of thinking this way?
Sure. for me at least, I can say this. What works very well for me? I've met with some CEOs. I've talked to a lot of people as I go through this. And what they find out is one of two things. One is they find out that I am very good at speaking to every silo in their business. I don't just sit back and go, here's what you need to do. No, I can tell each silo where they fit in and where they belong because every silo is a lane that I've dabbled in at some point.
Wow.
The second thing that has happened, and one of my favorites, was one CEO looked at me and said, oh, my God, this is why I have been so successful, but I was never allowed to admit it.
Wow.
And I just looked at him and I said, yeah, that's why I'm talking to you, because I've seen how you work. And he's a very good friend of mine. So there's two different styles that people see. Some people look at it and go, no, I don't want a generalist. We only want specialists. And, hey, that's fine. There's enough people out there that want to experience innovation. They want to experience growth. They don't want to stay in a lane. So those people that choose to stay stuck in the specialty lane, go for it. Stay in your lane. I'm not going to bother you. I'll find someone else that I can help. So I am not niched, but I will service the people that fit into the world that I have created.
Well, like attracts like, and it seems to me that if you just talk to enough people about it, they will eventually find you and see the advantage of what you're sharing. So we have about 7 minutes left. Is there anything that I haven't really asked you that you really want to share?
You know, I think that I said something earlier, and I want to come back to that, which is when everybody that's listening takes a look at your life, take a moment and write down what it is you do for a living. Write down what you do and how people see you. How do people identify you? And then write down how you do it. How do you do it and what makes you good at it? And then start to list under that everything that you have ever done in your life. Every job you've had, every career you've had, every volunteer position you've taken, and even write in your hobbies. And then sit back, take a look at that list, and start to ask yourself, connects all of them? Because that is where cross-disciplinary thinking starts. And if you can start to figure out how all of that goes together, you're going to realize that many of you are what I would call generalists in hiding. You just never experienced the joy of using it all. 2 weeks ago, I was standing in front of the board of directors of a credit union. And it's funny because one of the people sitting there proceeded to explain to me how he learned his management skills or his self-management skills when he was a lifeguard at a pool during his teenage years.
Wow.
And I said, when was the last time you thought about that? And he said, not until today. And that's the kind of stuff I want you to think about. What did you learn as a paper girl? What did you learn working as a fast food cook? There's things that you learned that will make you who you are today, and you just don't give yourself a chance to embrace it all. So that would be my message to everybody, is just take some time. Embrace who you are. Embrace how you got here. Don't embrace who you think people want you to be.
I've struggled with this over the years because I have different lanes myself, and you know, I've brought people on trips, I've done travel, I've done speaking, I've done mentalism,
right.
And sometimes, you know, people will be with me. Like, I remember one time we were on a river cruise, and this woman came over, and she was serving us and talking with me, and she asked me, she said, who are you and what are you doing? And I said, well, I'm a host. I'm a travel host. I brought these people on this trip. And then she left. And then the lady next to me who was on the trip, she says, well, how come you didn't tell her everything? And I'm like, everything? Like, really? You know, and just this feeling of you have to explain yourself to many different people over the period of time. And I think what this conversation has done for me is kind of take away that kind of guilt. I don't know if it's guilt or just, you know, this feeling of shame, maybe. Does that make sense? I don't know if it does.
No, it's fine. No, it's yeah. Well, if you wanted to stay with the trendy thing, it's called generalist shaming. No, I mean,
yeah.
I just think
yeah.
what you just said, as you explain that, you realize all that stuff that you do, Greg, you're good at. Whether you're arranging
right.
a trip, doing the show, doing
right.
stage performances, you're good at it. So my statement to you right now is, welcome to the generalist revolution. We are so glad to have you.
Well, I tell you did convert me, because I must be honest with you. When I saw your book, I said, are you crazy? And then I remembered who you were. You know, I know your background. And I thought, well, that makes sense, but I'm not buying it. And then when you started showing some proof and kind of like making your case today on this call, I said to myself, you know, he does have a point. And I'm also seeing it in myself as well. I had a woman by the name of Susan approach me a couple weeks back, and she goes, who are you? I said, well, I'm a speaker. She goes, well, that makes sense. So, Joe, thank you so much for being on this podcast. Again, how do people get a hold of you? How do they get a hold of the book? Because I'm sure they're going to want to read it. And hire you as well.
Absolutely. Go to Amazon, search The Generalist Advantage. My book will come up. You'll find me that way.
Good.
And, if you go to joecurcillo.com, joecurcillo.com, you'll find me. And for those of you that don't remember how to spell it or heard it too fast, you can also get to me by going to thegeneralistsadvantage.com, and that'll take you there. So,
and you also
that's
have,
the easiest
you
way
also
to get
have
me.
A wonderful. A wonderful YouTube site, too. I was watching those videos this afternoon as well, so people would find you on YouTube as well, right?
Absolutely. You know, I don't promote that well enough, so thank you for saying something. I'm bad at that whole promotion on that YouTube stuff. But, yeah, generalistadvantage.com. And, by the way, I'm so lazy at marketing, I tell people, you can even get to me by going to myspeakersite.com because I was too – my speaker site, just myspeakersite.com, myspeakersite.com. I registered that because nobody can ever spell my name.
Okay, I'm going to go there right now. My speaker.
It's my website. It's just another way. Myspeakersite.com.
Wow. Wow. And that could be anybody. And that could be anybody, but it pops up right now and it's you. That's wonderful. So I see it right now.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
That is
all right.
That is one of my alternate domains.
I love it. All right, Joe. All right. Well, I'm looking at your last name. I don't think you're Irish, but I'm going to wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day nevertheless.
Let me just say I'm half Sheridan, so, yes, I am wearing some green.
Excellent. All right. I hope our paths cross in the near future soon. Thank you so
you
much for your time, Joe. Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Oh, it was so fun. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Greg Dwyer Radio Show, brought to you by motivational speaker Greg Dwyer on buildingfortunesradio.com. Check out Greg at gregdwyer.com. Be sure to download his ebook at gregdwyerebook.com to stay focused on what matters most to you. That's www.gregdwyerebook.com. We want to thank you for listening. Now go make a difference in your world.